You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Open Mic. It's your host, Varian, and I'm happy to be here today. It's always interesting coming in and seeing the program before I come into the studio and do my program. And I've been pretty, those last 2 weeks, I've been pretty enamored with this Typically Tuesday. I've been very, very fascinated by Leslie's style. I think that I'm sure the viewers at home can also attest to this, but her style and her cadence is very calming. And the whole concept of this show of her, like, you know, going through, talking about her Chinese New Year's traditions and like making dumplings live on air is like really, really interesting, really cool. And I really like her style. I feel very inspired by a lot of that. And on the outset of our broadcasting today, I'd like to acknowledge that CJSF broadcasts on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwilin Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh nations. And a lot of indigenous teaching sort of focuses and surrounds on this idea of like all my relations, and that like everyone is connected, you know, everyone is connected in some shape or form, and sort of like, you know, a first stepping stone to sort of anti-colonialism and being, you know, anti-colonial is to sort of practice this idea of all my relations. And I feel like, you know, listening to Leslie's program just now kind of inspires me in some of that, in that, like, you know, I think I'm very fortunate to, you know, have grown up, like, I'm second generation Chinese, you know, and to have grown up, you know, amongst my family, like, eating these foods and, you know, that are culturally, like, you know, present, you know, in my parents, my grandparents' lives, that, like, you know, First Peoples have not been able to, you know, teachings that First Peoples have not necessarily been able to receive due to, like, residential school and effects of colonialisms in the past. And so, I don't know, something about Leslie's programming and her, you know, making these dumplings live on air feels very nurturing. You know, it feels like, you know, what we should all kind of aspire to be, and what I kind of aspire to be is that level of connection with my culture. You know, I'm second generation Chinese, so I never learned how to speak the language, which, you know, definitely gives me like a little bit of disconnect with some of members of my family. I think that like there are like certain things, you know, it's my grandmother's English is very good. You know, she, you know, immigrated here, in the 70s, and, you know, she, like, worked a full pension job here, you know, her English is very good. You know, there's obviously from time to time, like, expressions and little things that, can't really be iterated to me, you know, in the way that she intends to, or, you know, she'll cut corners and sort of, like, how she expresses herself, and I feel like that's a little bit of a shame, and it's nice to see that, you know, Leslie has this connection with her family in that way and speaks the language and whatnot. And so I was thinking maybe I would talk about a little bit of my Chinese New Year. But it's kind of funny because I feel like I was planning on the way here. I'd been planning this like whole show. I don't know. My style is kind of very, very different from the program before. I feel like I'm very jokey, kind of come up the gates swinging. Like I was really expecting to do like this like Valentine's Day themed show aimed at people who are like single, and like was gonna come out the gate swinging and like spazzing and like kind of being a little bit of a, you know, a little bit funny, you know, making fun of single people on Valentine's Day, because I thought it'd be really funny. But like I feel like I can't come into that like right now, and you know, I still have some great stuff later planned in the theme of Valentine's Day, but you know, I think it's like it feels almost inappropriate coming off that last bit to come out swinging in the way I intended to. But listening to Leslie talk about her, you know, her dad, you know, making too much dough for the filling they had for dumplings and turning into noodles was really cute. We had kind of an early Chinese New Year celebration this year. We did it like a week early, and then We're going to do something else this week, this coming weekend. But it was kind of a nice time. It started off with I wore like a traditional kind of Chinese New Year kind of shirt and pants, like had an emblem of a dragon on it. It's like my year. It's the year of the dragon. I was born in the dragon, so I'm turning 24 this year. So it's like my year. And so it's the sort of the garment that I was wearing on Chinese New Year celebration was one that my grandfather had bought, that he really liked the style, but it didn't fit him. And so he had bought it, and then, you know, he had passed away. He has since passed away. But it was a very nice moment at the table, all of the family sort of reminiscing about my grandfather, you know. And my grandfather was a draftsman. And so he was always very, like, very, very crafty, you know. I mean, it was literally his job to come up with, like, blueprints for things, you know. And so sort of, like, raising my dad and my auntie, you know, he was very crafty. And my dad tells this story about how there was this really, like, nice bunk bed that he saw in, like, a Sears ad or, like, an IKEA ad, something in the magazine. And my yeah, it's my grandfather, my yeah is goes and like, oh yeah, I can make that. And he does. But my yeah is like notoriously very cheap. And so how he sources his materials is a little dishonest. He goes into construction sites. Well, he was used to go into construction sites and go, you know, raid some of their scrap wood, you know. And my yeah also did not believe in sanding things down. So although the end result was really nice, it was all painted and stuff, it was very splintery. And my whole family can recall, you know, getting various pieces of furniture built by my yaya. Like my mom and my dad, when they had first moved out, he had built them a bed frame. And my mom complained that because it was not sanded down, you know, she kept on, you know, getting slivers on the bed, and it was really like kind of haphazard. And my mom eventually like had to replace the bed frame, maybe because they were getting a bigger mattress or something. You know, eventually replaced the bed frame, and my yaya asked for the wood back. Like, you know, he didn't want to throw it out. He like asked for the wood back and repurposed it. Mostly out of spite, I think. I think my yaya was a little bit hurt that my mom was so willing to give away this bed frame so quickly. And so he reclaimed all the wood and built something else with it. I think there was a whole other phase, oh my god, that my yaya had, where he was really into building these miniature like Holland style, like the Netherlands style, like miniature like windmills, you know. And I think that like pieces of that bed went into those windmills that he had in his garden. I also remember my own experience with a built piece of furniture from my yaya. I think it was also a very similar scenario to my dad and his sister asking for a bunk bed. And it was that I had seen this like ad in some sort of magazine about a bed frame for kids that was like shaped like a race car, you know. And my yaya goes like, oh yeah, like, oh, I got that, you know, I can make that. And so same deal, you know, goes and raids construction sites for like scrap wood and, you know, cobbled something together. And the final result was this like kind of, once again, a little haphazardly built bed frame that was, you know, sawed out to look like, you know, the chassis of a car. But everything was sort of recycled, reclaimed. And so the big deal breaker from mom was that instead of like wheels, you know, instead of painting wheels or doing something, he just used like the actual like metal wheels from like an old carriage. And they're all rusty and like definitely like a tetanus, you know, definitely a tetanus hazard waiting to happen in my childhood bedroom. My mom would not let him give it to me, and so that's really funny. Even my I feel like I've got so many stories I tell in my I only have an hour on air, but my cousins and my siblings corroborated too a little story about how I feel like this just goes to show that my yayo was very, very cheap in the day. And he would not give my siblings or my cousins glue. He didn't believe in glue. And instead, he would give us wet rice to use as glue to adhere things because, you know, that way we could peel them off afterwards and stuff like that. And so we had such a good laugh, like reminiscing about, you know, my yaya's life and whatnot. And it, you know, I think as far as, you know, celebrating things Chinese, you know, I think my family is like a little bit removed from maybe some of like the directly Chinese traditions, you know, but I think that like in essence, we still got together and celebrated, you know, family, which I think it's mostly about, you know. And so, yeah, it was a great Chinese New Year. And this is quite a departure of what I had planned for the show, but don't worry, I still have some schizo posting to do later in the show. But man, I've been talking for like 10 minutes. Let's get into some music here for my first track of the day. I've got a song. What is the name of the band? The artist's name is Midnight Sunset. The song is called Goose, off an album called Gemini Sunrise. This is a jazzy track. I feel like I got to transition before I go to my little bit of erratic music, but let's start off with this. Here's Goose on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. Many bird species have found ways to adapt to city living. But cockatoos in Sydney, Australia, are setting a new standard for how resourceful urban birds can be. In several neighborhoods of Sydney, sulfur-crested cockatoos have learned ways to open trash bins and grab some leftover food. Researchers found that birds in a given suburb seem to learn their trash bin opening technique from nearby birds, leading to subtle differences in how cockatoos raid the garbage throughout the city. As more and more cockatoos got the news about trash bins, people began improving their security measures. Residents started adding weights to the lids or trying to scare birds away with rubber snakes. Much like the birds, people often used whatever deterrence method their neighbors were using. Not every security method works. It turns out cockatoos can slide a brick off a bin lid, and a toy snake will only fool a bird so many times. This could result in an arms race between the cockatoos and Sydney residents as two highly intelligent species try to outwit each other every trash day. For Bird Note, I'm Ariana Rimmel. This episode is dedicated to Bob Goodale, whose lifelong love for birds and nature continues to inspire.
And welcome back to Open Mic. In case you've forgotten me, I'm your host, Varian. The track right before the break there was a track by Joseph Shabasin called Jamie Thomas, affectionately named after the owner of Zero Skateboards. The actual album cover is also, it's like a little devil, and it looks like, I recognize it immediately. It's the opening screen to the Welcome to Hell toy machine video, so I can tell that Joseph is a big skater. So as you know, it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, and I had this whole segment planned out to celebrate those who are single on Valentine's Day, sort of amassing this sort of contextual, like, you know, aesthetic, audio aesthetic of like loser core of what it means to be kind of single and angsty on Valentine's Day. I am not that. I'm just a, you know, I thought it'd be funny, you know, but you know, I'm just like cool, you know. And so I got a couple tracks for that, you know, themed around that sort of angst, and I've got a little bit that I want to do after that. I'm going to read off some interesting missed connections that I found this morning. I'm going to read that off to you thematically, but let's get on to some of this music here. For my first track, a track by Heartbreaker. It's called Kenzie here on CGSF 90.1 FM.